Pulse, one issue that is affecting just about everybody. There's a few that might be immune to the problems of the rise in interest rates. Some might be benefiting from it greatly, but overwhelmingly people in Australia with home loans are the ones who are feeling the pinch. And a man who's going to help us see what the future might look like, but also help deal with the present, financial expert, Chris Foster-Ramsey. Good morning and welcome back to The Pulse.
Oh, good morning. Thank you for having me back on.
It's very good, Chris. Very interesting discussion last time and happy to do it again. Interest rates, we probably reckon since we spoke to you last, we had one more rise and then we've had a little bit of leeway and there's conjecture as to what might happen next month. Regardless, and it's no point asking you to crystal ball in an area that there's an element of guesswork, but we're living in a time where people are feeling the pinch a fair bit. What's some of the learnings that you've had in this period of time as an advisor of how people might best work their way through this difficult time?
Yeah, sure. I mean, that in itself is a large umbrella term that can be, you know, we can talk on this for days. I think the main one, though, like when the RBA held their rate last month, the amount of text messages and relief messages that we got from clients, you know, they were so thankful that they didn't have to deal with an interest rate rise again this month. You know, their family budgets are starting to become under real pressure. So that's probably the you know, the 25 words or less version of what's happened in the last 4 weeks or so.
Chris, I guess habits are difficult to break, and that's the keeping up with the Joneses, the things in life that just become normal after a while. And I imagine that during the COVID period where our interest rates were low, people weren't going out and spending normally, there was a bit more money in the budget and people started to use that when we broke out of lockdowns and started to do things in their environment that they weren't doing in the past but have now become the new norm. Is just breaking habits to find these savings the simplest way to do things?
Yes, essentially yes. And you're absolutely right there. I mean, we saw offset balances with you know, reporting that we received with offset balances that we'd never seen before. You know, people were just, they couldn't go out, they couldn't do anything, so they just, you know, decided to save their money and offset their home loan. Now, that moved through into, you know, other activities and bits and pieces as a family unit, and now has come a time where that budget needs to be reviewed. And I think that, you know, there are many, many, many websites that can assist with that and smartphone apps that can help you redo budgets. But it doesn't have to be the, you know, the traditional discretionary spending of you know, cable TV and the like and Overeats. It's probably actually more simple than that, and it's just, you know, shopping when things are on special, for example. Things like that can make a massive difference.
We've talked a lot a simple thing like a takeaway coffee. Some people that I know have up to three, sometimes four a day. If you drop one a day off at $5 times five, that's 25 a week, that's 100 a month. Just a simple thing like that can make a huge difference. And while you think, well, I like my coffee, it's not really too much to give up, is it?
No, it's not. And that's what I mean by just not having to go for, you know, cutting down the tree. Just cutting a few branches off, like three instead of four coffees a day, can make a massive difference.
The difference, of course, that though, is that if everyone follows that advice, Chris, it means that coffee shops, let's work on them because we mentioned coffee. Coffee shops then have a drop in their income and demand. In your customer base, how are small businesses handling this interest rate rise where people maybe don't have that discretionary spending?
Yeah, so great question. And we see it varied across the different markets that we have our customers in. You know, manufacturing and construction, they seem to be going okay. You know, I think the Victorian Big Build is assisting a lot in that with the spider web of work that comes out of each bigger business to a smaller business. However, that fast-moving consumer goods stuff, you know, coffee shops and hospitality, absolutely still recovering from being shut down over COVID. And, you know, I think that like people in Geelong do so well, they're great at, picking up the pieces and working out ways to innovate and do things better and smarter and you know, make things easier. So we're seeing that in terms of innovation, and some coffee shops that we're dealing with have really pushed forward in the innovation space in terms of adding on smartphone apps, changing, you know, the traditional market that they once operated in to make it wider and more varied. So, yeah, it does depend on which market a small business operates in, though.
Let's talk about financial institutions, not always people's favourite places, but some of them are showing a little bit of compassion, empathy and understanding of the circumstances and are offering customers ways around difficult things, an interest rate, whether they be fixed or variable. That seems to be one of the issues. Of course, a big problem, people coming off long-term fixed loans into a variable, which could be as much as 3.5% more than they've been paying. How have the institutions been working with customers to ease the pressure there?
Yeah, so again, it's a very, very sort of bucket there. The ones where they're on a current fixed rate and they purchased during COVID, so they've paid a premium price at the time, they're on a fixed rate at the moment and will have a real budget shock when they go back to a variable component. They're on a lot of, you know, watch lists for the right word in terms of supporting and custom support watch lists. The lenders aren't by any means in the business of repossessing property and selling property. They want to work with customers as best they can and come up with, you know, outcomes that suit everyone. And I mean, for example, what I mean by that, you know, for example, if someone is struggling once they come off a fixed rate loan and go back to a variable rate loan, and you know, there's real pressure on the budget, there are things that were available to them that were available during COVID. And I mean by that, you know, they're case by case basis, of course, but they could consider you know, a change in frequency of the payments from monthly to weekly or fortnightly if that works for a family budget's better. Or, you know, in a sort of more serious case, reversion to interest-only period to make things a little bit cheaper during the high rate spike that we're currently in.
That's an interesting point. I was going to ask you about interest-only loans. They were quite common 10 so years ago when I started to work in the financial institution myself. I don't know if institutions have the appetite to take them on, but certainly as a way of a short-term way to help people remain in their home, it's got to be something that people would have to seriously look at if the institutions were offering them up.
Yes, that's right. And you know, they are available still for the right circumstances under the, you know, the rules and regs that were imposed under the Royal Commission a couple of years ago. However, there is also an argument, a proven argument, and a further argument in my view, that there is a need for an interest-only term to be offered where there is demonstrated budget issues.
Yeah, well, that's a good point. The other thing that I suppose during a period of time when the property market was really quite hot, you'd still be in a good position paying interest only because the value of the property was rising in a way that it would be not dissimilar to paying down some of the principal. However, that market's changed considerably, and certainly in the capital cities where prices have come right off, and, you know, I saw something last week that as much as, you know, more than 10% drop in property values in some capital cities. Does that sort of change the way you might look at that change from variable to fixed to interest only?
Yeah, look, I think it does. I think that there's it's going to come down to the repayment, the person's ability to borrow, and then matching that with the rules and regs. So there is definitely an argument for that, yes.
I suppose it's just a treading water. If you looked at it as an 18-month to 2-year option just to see how things progress, and I suppose that's the difficulty when you make the decision around going onto a fixed rate term, which may look high at this point, but in an environment where interest rates are continuing to rise, you may very well finish up coming out the other end okay. The RBA got it terribly wrong with their suggestion that we wouldn't see rate rises before 2024. In your position, how much do you rely on your skill to look at the future of what interest rates might do, or is it something you really just keep well away from because it's too volatile?
Well, in terms of recommending fixed, that's hard to, you know, that's crystal ball territory. However, what we do is you become accustomed over the years to being able to, you know, interpret different ways of and information from banks about what fixed rates are doing and then that how that reflects on their view for the future economy. Now, we've recently seen a couple of lenders cut the fixed rate loans ever so slightly to try and entice more borrowers back into fixed. Isn't really working too well in my view, but variable needs to be sort of where it continues to be, and then the use of offset accounts and extra repayments while the rates are high. So there can be horses for courses here, and everything needs to be done on a case-by-case basis.
Housing availability is an issue. Renters lining up and sadly paying now some really ridiculous rental rates as landlords seem to be putting them up willy-nilly. They can because they can get away with it. Is that going to have a balancing effect at some stage, or do you think that rental area might just continue to be really hard to predict?
Oh, look, I think the rental era has become its own beast over the last 6 months. But what I think that will do and what we're starting to see is customers coming to us and saying, look, it's, you know, very similar to renting in this area. If we go 5 minutes, you know, out of where we want to live by 5 to 10 minutes, you know, it may make sense to be buying. And that's where we're seeing, and that's sort of the overflow of people that can afford to, they desire to rent because of the location, but they can actually afford to buy too. So they just want to work out what's best for their lifestyle and their budget.
Another interesting part of the property business is the mum, what some people call the mum and dad investors buying that second property, the investment, the tax help investment, and I've certainly done that in the past myself. Is there a lack of people in the market from that, the genuine mum and dad investors, as opposed to people who might already have a 10 to 15 house portfolio? Are both members of the market, are they both pulling back a bit, or do the bigger portfolios, are they now out and about and increasing their portfolio?
Oh, no, they're both pulling back. They're absolutely pulling back. And how much they can borrow has a key feature of both scenarios there. Those, in our view and our experience with the larger portfolios, their pain point at the moment is the repayment side. So whilst the rental income increases helps service the loan is still quite a large beast with that size of portfolio to be able to make the repayments on. So they're just wanting to make sure that they're getting the best deal in every occasion. The mum and dad, typical mum and dad investor, they're still around, but they're wanting to do things a lot smarter and have also been impacted by that borrowing capacity. So a lot of the hands of those mum and dad investors have gone back into pockets just for now until things stabilise, and I think we'll see those come out probably in the next sort of 3 to 6 months as, you know, we just see what happens with the RBA rate rises and lender rate rises.
I apologise in advance, you may not be able to have gauged an opinion on this yet, but it's almost the perfect storm of things going wrong last week, exacerbated by the Porter Davis building company collapse. That really has painted a pretty bad picture for this scenario. So we're talking about housing supply and people coming into the market. Is housing going to be available? How much of a scare has a company the size of Porter Davis going under thrown into what is already a pretty murky water?
Yeah, and that's a continuation and another reason why hands have gone back into pockets. You know, there are a lot of people that have been committed to to land purchases all over Australia, and based on the advice of the RBA, you know, where it was said that rates would increase, you know, decisions have been made on that. And builder after builder having issues that they've had and, you know, topped off by Porter Davis last week, there are a lot of very, very, very concerned, and in some cases, in the case of Porter Davis and others where deposits have disappeared, upset and you know, panics people. It's a real issue. And I really feel for those families.
Yeah, it's a big concern when a company that size goes under. We know that some smaller builders would be under pressure having quoted, and then cost of goods has gone up so rapidly that would put them under strain. But if something like Porter Davis, something that big, goes under, I know there's a rally yesterday and a fair bit of pressure put on the state government to have a microscope look into this and maybe even come forward and help some of these people out who've lost savings. Is it just something that's happened and we move on, or should we really take a breath and have a good, long, hard look at the circumstances that brought Porter Davis to its knees?
Oh, look, I think that, you know, the world supply of construction materials has probably contributed to it, but I think that there needs to be a review of some description across the construction industry, I think, and again, you know, I work in finance, not construction, so, you know, it's my own view here, but I can't see something like that being able to happen again with such a large policy breach of the claims of insurance not actually being taken out to be allowed to happen again.
Righto, before you go, Chris, it's time for tips. People who will be feeling the pinch, you talk to clients all the time and you're gathering information. Just give us three or four really important tips that families, whether they be one or two income families, but families that are now just a little bit stretched, what should they do?
Yeah, so I think that, you know, the ones that immediately come to mind are making sure that you're getting the best rate on your loan that you possibly can, and you can either speak to, you know, a brokerage company such as ours or a broker that you dealt with at the start. The lender themselves or your banker at the bank, just to ask whether there's anything better that can be done on the rate, and be very frank with them and say, look, you know, the family budget is under pressure, I need some relief. You'd be surprised how enthusiastic someone at the bank will be to help you out and genuinely help you out with that.
I just want to pop in there too, Chris, having been in the institution, I think a lot of people are embarrassed to do that, and sometimes they just think the only thing they can do is leave that bank and go to another one with a cheaper rate. I think it's important because it's a fair bit of work in changing home loans. Have that conversation with your current provider and just see what you can get there before you think about moving, because sometimes, for the words you just said, that there is the ability to absorb a bit of pressure from your current institution. It's a lot less painful than going through that reapplying for a home loan again.
Oh, it is, absolutely it is, and you know, once you're in contact with them, it can happen very quickly. I guess just a couple other things very quickly. You can also save and see the family budget in these situations better if you're able to repay on a weekly or fortnightly basis. Now, that you just take the monthly repayment essentially and divide by two or divide by four, but what it can do is just make things a little bit easier, and you know where and what money is available at the end of the week for the next week. So they're probably the top two things that really we've had some success with, and customers that were under pressure are less under pressure now by just those two things alone.
Yeah, and that's a good point, that if the money's there, sitting there waiting to be used, and the temptation to use it for something else is probably high. But if you're paying weekly and you know your budget is tight, then that extra cup of coffee or that extra takeaway meal, you know you can't do it. So it's a good way to then change those habits, I suppose, that we've got into. Now, they're not necessarily bad habits, but they're just habits that are easy to make a huge difference on the family budget.
Yeah, that's right. Exactly right.
Chris, thank you so much for your time this morning. I really do appreciate it. Chris, Foster Ramsey has a financial company. If you're looking for some advice, have a Google, have a chat. There may be an opportunity for you to change your world a little bit. But I think there was enough in that conversation this morning to get people thinking. And if you are under pressure, have the conversation, please. Don't just absorb it and think you're on your own, because there's a lot of people now are feeling this at the moment. And I guess, Chris, you talked about your customers sending you texts. There is a lot of people feeling it. So it's a shared thing. Don't think you're all on your own. That's another important tip, I think.
Absolutely, it is. Yeah, you know, the shared problem is a better problem than one faced alone. I think we all know that for whatever reason. And there are many options available out there for people. And it's very well known that there are people under pressure.
Yeah, most definitely. Chris, thank you so much for your time. I really appreciate it. We look forward to our next chat.
Thanks, Rob.
Chris Foster-Ramsey with some good tips on finance stuff. Hopefully there's something in there for you to work through, but don't do it on your own. Don't need to. It's something that's shared around, but also you have to have some hard conversations about what do we really, really need to have in our family budget? Can we take some things out of our spending that would make it so much easier to meet those home loan repayments? And when you do look at that, you might find that there are some simple solutions just by making a little bit of a sacrifice. 94.7 The Pulse. This